This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, let's talk about legislative reforms to better protect children. The passing of the Sexual Offences Against Children Act, known as the SOAC in 2017, was a landmark moment in Malaysian law. The law was implemented to fill the gap in legislation to protect minors from sexual crimes. And according to Law and Institute Reform Minister Datuk Sri Azalina Othman, more than 4,700 cases under the SOAC Act were resolved between 2018 and January last year.
However, since its enactment, the need for further reform of this law has been advocated for by lawyers and also civil society in order to better protect children and adolescents from sexual abuse. As a result, later today, the minister will propose new legislative reforms to address the shortcomings that have been identified. Some of these amendments include making it less intimidating for children to testify in court and better compensation mechanisms.
So how will these amendments strengthen the protection framework for all children under 18 from heinous transgressions? For more on this, we have Datuk Sri Azalina Othman herself, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Law and Institutional Reform. Good morning, Datuk Sri. Thanks as always for joining us. Now, the current justice system can be quite intimidating for young victims and child witnesses. How will the amendment seek to address child witness protection in terms of establishing child-friendly court procedures and investigation processes?
Thank you so much for your question. You know, even for adults, court process takes a very long time. You also have with you issues of collection of evidence, forensic, dates of the witnesses. So with this amendment on the sexual offences against children, we are also going to amend the Evidence Child Witness Act 2007. Because currently under Section 6 of that particular act, the law does allow a videotape statement to be given to the police to be used as the evidence in chief. But now with this amendment, we're adding on a new section, which is Section 6A. We are also including the option of a special hearing so that pre-recorded examination in chief, cross-examination and re-examination of the victim at an earlier date so that the child does not have to attend the trial. So sometimes when you postpone cases for many times, by the time the victim comes to court, he or she would be an adult. And then, you know, they will be slightly embarrassed and decide not to continue, or they don't have capacity to keep going to court. So we believe with this amendment of the Evidence of the Child Witness Act will be a start to roll out a much more faster process. Number two, as you know, from the budget read out by the Prime Minister, he has added 3 million budget in 2023 so that there'll be more special court for sexual offences cases. As of now, we only have 5, which is in Putrajaya, Klang, Kuching, Kota Kinabalu, and Kuala Lumpur. But with this 3 million, we are able to create and equip more court to be children friendly. We hope we can get 20 more. And the other amendment that we're looking at is also on the, currently, you know, under the Evidence Act, which is Act 56, it prohibits for some questions which is indecent or scandalous or insult or to annoy. No reference to age-appropriate questioning. But with the Child Witness Act 2007, we're creating a new section. It'll be clearer so the court can intervene and stop questions from the defense counsel, which is misleading or confusing, insulting or annoying, belittling or discriminating. And the court will also to take into account the age of the child, the maturity and the vulnerability of the children.
So how will these amendments seek to address new methods of accessing and engaging in child pornography, such as live streaming, use of social media platforms like Telegram or other digital methods?
I don't know whether you're aware or not, but as of now, we have like 100,000 cases of Malaysian children subjected to online child sexual abuse each year. Such offences, although it falls under the current Section 15 of the Act, it does penalise such acts through categorising it as a child pornography. It doesn't really reflect the seriousness of technology. So that's why we're putting in additional new sections. As of now, with the existence of the Sexual Offences Act Against Children 2017, we do have Section 15. So Section 15 emphasises on offences of causing the child to watch pornography or live sexual activity, which is participating, causes the child to engage in sexual act, which is participating, flashing or making a child show their body. So this Section 15 is looking into a situation of a one-one situation between the child and the perpetrator. But we are adding on two sections, which is Section 15A and 15B. So 15A talks about live streaming sex. This is directly participating, organizing, promoting, and directing the abuse. And the other one is Section 15B that talks about sexual extortion. So the use of sexual images of a child as a leverage to blackmail or to threaten the child to send more pictures, more video, or to pay money or to have a sexual relationship or sexual intercourse with the perpetrator. The law also applies to perpetrators among the same age. You must understand when it comes to certain offenses, sometimes the offenders are people within your community, someone you know, someone you're comfortable with, or someone you've been sharing. So this law, the creation of this section is to give an awareness to children out there, especially below 18, of certain offenses. So you cannot be thinking that, well, you know, you think it's funny and then you decide to do something about it and then later you regret what you do. No, you're going to get yourself into trouble.
There have been criticism on the misuse and misinterpretation of the SOAC 2017, specifically in reference to a 2020 case, whereby two teenagers were arrested and prosecuted for sexual charges. It was argued that the act of arresting and prosecuting the two teenagers engaged in consensual sexual activity, not amounting to statutory rape, was contrary to the intention and spirit of the SOAC Act. Will the amendments address such an issue?
Well, as of now, no, because what we have now, we do have existing law to address such issue. If you're a Muslim, such offences is considered illegal. If you're a non-Muslim, if you're below 16, that is considered statutory rape, although with consent. What happens is when you look at the SOAC 2017, the SOAC is looking into sexual offences against children. So it is a conduct of an offence. Now, if you have a situation whereby you have two willing parties, say their age is above 16, between 16 to 18. So this is a situation whereby the prosecutor from the Attorney General's Chambers, if a report is being made, may make a decision to prosecute. Or the prosecutor may not want to prosecute and send the children for counselling. So it depends very much. But the offences of such conduct, as of now, there are existing law. For SOAC 2017, we are looking more into cases of sexual offences against children in a situation of abuse. And I think as of now, as I'm speaking to you, we do have other laws out there. But this particular law is only in reference to sexual offences against children.
There's also a plan for a new law to enable the courts to order sexual offenders to pay compensation to their child victims. What's the current situation when it comes to compensation for victims?
As of now, we do have under the Criminal Procedure Code, whereby in any criminal court, the deputy public prosecutor can request to the court to instruct the perpetrator to pay compensation to the victim. Now, under the amendment, the added amendment to Sexual Offences Against Children 2017, we're adding two new sections, which is Section 26A and 26B, which is in specific reference to victim compensation. So the situation is as such is that the Act gives mandate to the court to order compensation in all cases under the Act without the request of the DPP. Sometimes you must bear in mind that the court may evaluate the situation different from the DPP. So the Deputy Public Prosecutor may not want to request for compensation for whatever reason. But in this particular amendment to the section, the court can intervene and instruct without the request of the Deputy Public Prosecutor to order compensation to the victim by the perpetrators. So the court can have a more proactive role. And also, you know, when the court instruct for compensation, you must take into account other factors when you're ordering compensation. For example, you can look at the costs associated to the aftermath, counseling, treatment, rehabilitation services, all that costs money. So by having this section, we want the compensation to be paid to the victim, take priority. So that the victim knows if the victim is becoming a victim in such offences, the court can participate and give added protection and added support to the child victim. And this, we hope, can also give a message to the perpetrators that their act will also be not only be punitive from the perspective of going to court and getting going to jail, having whipping offences, but they also have to pay compensation.
So, Dato Sri, do you see any challenges from getting unanimous support in Parliament for this? And if all goes well, when can we see this law be put into effect?
When it comes to children, our politicians, regardless of the political party, seems to be very protective and very proactive. And also, I know that as members of Parliament and as senators, they do encounter such cases, especially in rural areas. So we hope with this law, the messaging that we're getting that this government today are not going to tolerate any offences, sexual offences, especially against children, in whatever capacity. But at the end of the day, this is not just about the law. The law cannot solve the problem. The law is just basically punishing the offenders. This is a lot the way a community looks at it. That's why I believe by having awareness and our multi-agency approach, we're able to come up with more understanding within the system in reference to such offences. And what is very, very sad for me is that sometimes the victim become victim shame by community. And they see it because their children, there's a tendency that no one will believe them. So continuously abuse happens to them. So these are things for this government. We hope the new child commissioner that comes in with the new act is able to come up with more protective measures. Regarding your questions on when it will take effect, we hope by April this year after the upper house, then we're able to make the amendments to take effect. Yes.
Dato' Sri, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dato' Sri Azalina Uthman, Minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Law and Institutional Reform, talking to us about some of the proposed amendments to the Sexual Offences Against Children Act. By the sounds of it, some long-awaited changes. Hopefully, this will serve to strengthen protection for children in the country. It's 8:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, and when we come back, we'll discuss Malaysia-Saudi Arabia relations with Dr. James Dorsey of the S. Rajaratnam School for International Studies. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.